accession number 21098, Reel 3.
Old Wilmes House, Reel 3.
We did all this training and eventually we had to move. And that was our last move. We marched up the road to Purley Station in pouring rain. We had to wear our ground sheets for protection. We boarded a train at Purley Station and they took us to Liverpool, where we went on board a couple of American ships belonged to the Grace Line. We went on to the Santa Rosa, and other troops went on to the Santa Lena. They were banana boats, we called them. They carried passengers, but they did other work as well. And they plied in America, plied their trade in America. And we got in the Irish Sea, a terrific storm, a good start. We were all ill. And they provided us with sick bags, sick in, you see. And we were all very ill. And of course, the food we had from the Chinese cooks was pretty grim, really. It was boiled up in huge vats. And we were on the promenade deck. We had to queue on the promenade deck before getting our food. We had mess tin in each hand, the flat mess tin, you know, like so big. And they gave us coffee in one and the food in the other. Well, we were wearing plimsolls, we didn't dare wear anything else. And they just sloshed it in, you know, from ladles. And we were walking along like this behind one another. And of course, some of it got slopped on the floor, on the deck. They were very slippery. If one chap slipped, he knocked several others over. We followed along by these cooks, you see, and rained onto wooden benches. And of course, cut all sorts of capers. As I say, we finished up on the floor quite often by sliding, you know. And when we got to these wooden benches, we used to hang on because the ship was going, you know, up and over. And one day, the ship was rolling so much that we hung on to these benches and they broke loose. And there were men and mess tins and everything all over the deck. It was an inside building, inside deck. And if you weren't careful, you went in one door, and as the ship lurched, you went out the other one, the other side of the ship. And one day we had red sausages served up. We've been having red sausages for ages. I think they call them hamburgers or something like that, the Yanks. We piled them all up on the deck outside of the mess room. And this other boat was next door to us, quite close to us. And these chaps were looking. And afterwards, they asked us what we were doing. We said, well, we more or less mutinied because we kept having these sausages, you see. We piled them all up on the deck. Anyway, We reached the equator, and they gave us this food, and we didn't know it, but the meat had gone sour as we crossed the line. Of course, it made us all ill, and the chaps were going everywhere. Some were sitting on the rail going over the side of the boat. Some were on the pea trays. We had trays for pea, you know. And chaps were sitting everywhere.
You mean trays for urine?
Yeah. Urine and number two. Terrible. Yeah, trays for urine. And all the WCs on the ship were vacant, so that everyone could get somewhere, you know. So that was another funny turnout. Yeah, all the WCs were available for anyone. And some troops were right down in the bottom of the ship, and they were pretty bad, really. Conditions were very bad. Some were in hammocks, and some were in these three-deck
bunks.
Yeah, I was in one of the three-deck bunks, and all their stuff was on the floor, and as the ship lurched, everything was moving on the floor, you know, boots, everything, moving to and fro on the floor. And so we were very bolshy at that particular time. Anyway, we got over this bout of jippy tummy. We made our way to Freetown. We anchored off Freetown. No one was allowed to go into Freetown. They used to call it the White Man's Grave, Freetown, West Africa. The bum boats used to come out. They called them bum boats. They used to try and flog you fruit and that sort of thing, eggs, you name it. They tried to flog it, you see. They came out from Freetown, try to get rid of their produce. So we stayed there for a day or two, and there was a sudden storm, and it rained like hell, and some of the chaps tried to get out in it to have a wash, you know, but wasn't allowed. A lot of mosquitoes and germs in the rain, apparently. They stopped us from going out in it. Anyway, we stayed there about 3 days, and we made our way to Cape Town. The sea was pretty rough going round the Cape, and we were allowed ashore at Cape Town. One section would go on the first day. The next section would go on the second day. Well, I was on the second section. I went ashore on the second day. Chaps on the first day had it really good. The people who lived at Cape Town were very good to them, took them home to meals and that sort of thing, because the South Africans had just lost a lot of men at Tobruk. Tobruk had fallen while we were on the high seas. Several thousand South Africans were captured, killed or wounded. So they were extra good to the chaps who got off the boat first, you see. The second day it wasn't so good. I was on the second day. You saw all these Africans drunk and that sort of thing, laying in shop doorways. Never got a very good impression. Saw table men, of course, and various sights, you know. and they replenished their food at Cape Town.
Why wasn't it so good the second day?
I don't know, really. I think they welcomed the first chaps, but not so much the second, you know. But the chaps who got off on the first day had a really wonderful time, I think. They were invited to meals and that sort of thing. Met these gorgeous girls and all this, you know. And anyway, when they replenished their food supplies and fuel, we moved a bit further around the coast, and the sea got very rough. We were all ill again, going around the Cape. We were hugging the coast because we were going to eventually end up in the Indian Ocean. As we hugged the coast, and we got round to, we passed where the French were. Not Mozambique,
Madagascar,
yeah. We approached Madagascar, went through the Straits of Madagascar. We finished our journey at next port, where the two battleships who'd escorted us left us to go in the Indian Ocean. That was the Nelson and the Rodney. They left us because surface riders were in the Indian Ocean. And we carried on without them. What's the name of that place?
Mombasa?
No.
In Africa or Egypt? Or where?
Africa.
Lorenzo Marx?
Very well known place. We anchored off there.
I'll carry on anyway. A British colony, you mean?
South Africa.
Durban.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah, we anchored off Durban. I say the two battleships left us. And we were left to carry on up the coast on our own. One of our convoy was left behind, the engine packed up, and that was the only ship that got lost in that convoy. It got left behind, and the rest of the convoy had to carry on, you see, they couldn't stop. And as we were going up the coast, I think it was the Queen Mary was coming back. Well, she was a fast ship. She didn't have a convoy. And she was making her way back from the Suez. We went up through the Red Sea, you see. And as we were going up through the Red Sea, these flying fish were pretty things, you know. They'd fly in between the ships. And we were quite engrossed with them. And the Yankee crew of this boat had a gun, and they were practicing firing this gun at rocks in the Red Sea. They also had a kite as a barrage balloon, because we were likely to get attacked by land-based aircraft. And when they put this kite up, we laughed at them. We said, women are doing that at home. They didn't like that much, the Yanks. There's a big box kite they put up in place of a barrage balloon. And they were quite jovial, really. Anyway, we eventually got up through the Red Sea. And we were let off the ship at Port Suez, about the 29th of July, 1942. Of course, directly we got off the ship, we could see what the place was like, full of dust and flies and you name it. Heat was terrific. And we eventually moved from there to a place called Cassassin. That was a transit camp. We didn't stop Cassassin very long. We had to do battle training at a place called Katapa. Well, the time came when a battle was expected. The Germans had started their last push. And they were getting towards El Alamein. And we got all this battle training partly done. We got called up to the desert. We were in a position with the Indian regiment, and the latrines had hessian round them, just pitch, you know. And it was hot and flies were terrible. We all had dysentery. Dysentery were really bad. Why? Those that didn't have dysentery had jippy tummy. Just general conditions. They stank. Absolutely stank.
Stank of what?
Well, foul, you know. It had been a camp for lots of troops, you see. And the latrines were, you know, really crude.
What was anyway, the name of this place?
Pardon?
What was the name of the place?
That was Katapa. It was really bad. All the men were praising at the MOs with samples of business, and some had dysentery. There were none of us very good, but Rommel was getting closer to El Alamein. Montgomery had joined the 8th Army, and he made a recce of the position, and he found a hill called Alam El Halfa, and he called our division up to man this hill in the landscape, which from that hill, you could see for miles around. And General Montgomery decided to send for the 44th Division. We had to dig positions on that hill. It was very rocky. We were digging and not getting very far. We had to get the Royal Engineers in to dig the trenches for us, because they were deep trenches. We eventually got trenches dug. And they expected an attack from the Germans on that position. And Montgomery had set a trap for them. He put minefields over them. The idea was to let the Germans through the gaps in the hills, and then we shut them off and pound them. It was near the Qatar Depression. Well, it was a sea of sand, you might say. No-go area, in other words. We were next to that, you see. So the Germans couldn't get round on our right flank. They had to come through where we were. And of course, they started pushing the tanks through in the gaps. And everything let loose on them. And we stopped them. Air Company, C Company, went forward with the tanks. Actually, those tanks had been in Crowe training previously. They were called the Go Division. They'd actually trained in Crowe. 23rd Armoured Brigade, 24th and 25th. And they'd gone as a division to the desert. And we were with them. They took over ground during the daytime, and we took it over at night, because they could refuel them. You know, they used to leaguer up, get together, you see, at night. They'd refuel, replenish food and everything. And during the day, they'd take a bit of ground, and we'd take over at night, you see. That's when it went on for a week or two, I think. Well, then, in the end, the Germans retreated, and we followed them up. Air Company went with the Royal West Kents in a big attack at night, and the Germans retreated. And the Germans caught a high vehicle light in the attack, and it showed up all the troops, you know. The West Kents lost 300 men there that night. I met a chap afterwards who was in the West Kents, local chap, and he told me they lost 300 men that night. And we carried on. The Germans retreated. They left a lot of these butterfly bombs, booby trap on the ground. They left one dead German by the wire. And as they retreated, the RAF were bombing them. And it was like a firework display. There were shells and bullets and you name it, going up, all these different colours in the sky. And of course they'd gone, so Montgomery called the battle off, and we gradually went back to Air Hill that we were on. When we got back to Air Hill, we went through Air 4th Battalion, which was one of Air Brigade Battalions, or 2nd, 4th and 5th Battalions in the brigade, and they'd had a post in the 4th Battalion. And they cheered us as we went back through them into our positions. They were black with soot and, you know, explosions and Lord knows what. They were part of the plan, you see. And then we...
Can you describe any incidents that you were in that fighting at Alam Halfa?
Yes, we were put in a position in the open, and the first casualty was Air OC Command's truck, or PU we called it, PU. That was the first casualty. A piece of a bomb went through the radiator, put that out of action. Two men got killed in a tank battle near us. And we were there, and these German planes came over. We had shallow slip trenches. We couldn't get down very far. We had entrenching tools, which didn't dig very deep, you know. It was rocky. And we piled the sand up round our little slip trenches. And we put our equipment round as well to protect us. Equipment we could take off, you know. And these planes came over, hundreds of them, and they attacked us. You never saw anything like it in all your life. We had three Bofors guns protecting us. And they were in a triangle. They were putting up this huge barrage amongst these German planes. There were parachutes coming down everywhere. And the Polish regiment, Polish tank regiment, were near us. And they were shooting at these parachutes just as they came down from the planes, killing them, this Polish unit. 29 planes were shot down that day. 29 of the enemy planes were shot down, all round us.
Weren't you firing at the parachutists?
No, we didn't fire. No, the Polish regiment did.
Why didn't you shoot
them? We were laying low. We were laying low in their slip trenches. I mean, their equipment was getting shot up around the slip trenches. We were, you know, dug in, you see, and keeping close to the ground as close as we could, because I used to bomb and strafe us, you see. Some of our equipment got peppered. We had to get down to earth as low as we could with strafe, and you see the planes come down like that, strafe the ground, you see. So the bullets would go over top of you if you were very high up. So then we went to another place where the artillery had been in action. We could hear them. And of course, the tanks were firing at one another. All the solid shot were flying and whining about, making all sorts of funny noises. You never knew where they were going. They'd ricochet off a tank, you see. They were solid shot, like lead shot. You never knew where they were going. They were making, as I say, all sorts of noises. And there was mayhem, absolute mayhem. Well, eventually we were able to move. And as I say, we attacked that night when they retreated. But at night, you see, when we were out in no man's land, looking after the tanks, the aircraft were going over bombing them, you see. We watched all the fireworks as the aircraft bombed them. That was previous to the actual withdrawal. And we were laying out there watching everything in no man's land. One of our officers was duty officer at night, and as we lay out in the desert, we had to watch out for German patrols and anything else that we could see or hear, you see. And this officer and his batman came in from the wrong direction, from the German direction, you see. And we heard the crunch of gravel. It was gravel, it wasn't sand really, it was gravel. And I woke one of my mates up. I said, "There's someone coming," quietly. You could see just above the ground If you looked just above the ground, you could see these forms, you see. And these two chaps were tall, quite tall, the officer and the batman. And we could hear these footsteps. And I cocked my rifle. And the other chap said, "Who goes there?" No answer. I got ready to shoot. He said, "Who goes there?" There was an answer. The officer answered. They got lost, coming from the wrong direction.